I've never been to Spain, but I kinda like the music. See, the ladies are insane there, and they sure know how to use it. They don't abuse it, never gonna lose it.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. This finds us on issue 120. I am Andrew Farmer, your host. With me as always is the Jedi, Akil Houston. Hello, Joe.
Hello there. Your greetings.
I can't. Okay, just...
Oh, no, no, I, well, well played, well met, well, well.
Bully! I can't do it. Just so you know.
We don't much stand for bullying around here. You know what I mean?
I'm not going
little
to.
Little joke
do...
for you Yanks. There's a bit of a problem over there with that sort of thing.
I will not be doing any British accents tonight. Nope. I can't do
no
it.
No British accents.
If I could do the British, I can't even do like a.
Well, even do a Welsh accent.
I can't even do my.
It could be like a. That was almost Australian. Sorry, Stu.
I can't do. I can't even do a Cockney accent anymore. If I did, I would go on tour as Constantine.
Yeah,
as apparently we learned on the live show last week.
Yeah. Welcome to American Constantine.
Welcome to. I would get voted off of American Constantine real quick. But tonight we have an issue of the show that was proposed by the illustrious Jedi Cole. And what did you decide to call this thing?
We're going
to
go with Occident Express.
So like a play on Orient Express.
Precisely, it would be the precise opposite of Orient. It would be the Occident would be, of course, Europe. The Orient would be the Far East, as we used to call it back in the day. One can't use that term any longer, of course. Meanwhile, back at the British Explorers Club, we often refer to ourselves as the Occident Express, don't you know? So there's my wildly gyrating through different dialect British accent. I pretty much covered the entire British Isles there.
I think the only thing I'm going to be able to... The only thing I'm going to be able to muster is this. That's my British accent
that's very good.
Thank you. I appreciate...
That was actually British Bizarro.
I appreciate your lies. I appreciate your lies, Cole. So the idea here is we give a lot of coverage. We've randomly touched on the European side of comics throughout our 120-issue... grimoire of shows, but never has there been a show dedicated to the cause
exactly.
Of Europe.
We've not really talked about what goes on primarily in England, because it seems to be the focal point. It's sort of like the New York City of Europe when it comes to superhero books. An entire country is the city of an entire continent.
The New York City of Europe. I want a shirt that says Visit England, the New York City
that's right.
of Europe.
Just put that up there with that shirt I saw where it was like, what is it, Canada, America's Hat?
It's exactly right. We've done a show on America's Hat.
Yes, we have.
We've not done the capital city of Europe. Heavily.
And the thing about Europe and comic books is there was a time in this country where if you wanted to have a comic book about characters in that country, in Europe in general, you pretty much had to be British.
Right.
Or German. primarily because most of the stories were about a certain little misunderstanding between...
Yeah, I'm just done off for nothing. I'm just saying, sometimes you got to put on a red, white, and blue suit and duckle nuss some faces off the
gotta
German
go
people.
There and, you know, you got to see these those Nazis what for.
Sometimes the Krauts, they need the finger hole with the punch face.
Yeah, you give them an inch, they take a meter. I don't know, that's what they do over there. It's the sort of thing they do. They got a meter. I don't know about that. They tried that in the 70s around here. We didn't
tolerate that for too long.
They didn't have none of that over here. So, essentially, because so much of American comics entree into Europe was the European theater of combat, as it were, then primarily you're getting things like the invaders going and maybe assaulting Fortress Europa.
To Masterman.
Try to get at the Red Skull and friends.
Red Skull and friends. The Rowan and Martin's Red Skull laugh-in that he... His never-ending revolving door of weird German supervillains that they decided to shoehorn into a castle.
Which actually gives me a great... If anyone does start, you know, if the invaders ever get popularized again, I would love to see somebody do something to fold a little bit more real-world history in. And have, you know, I would just love to see a scene where, you know, poor Red Skull has to take some time out of his day to do a bunch of, you know, completely set up parade scenes and stuff for Leni Riefenstahl. Because Der Fuhrer wants a film showcasing all of, you know, Baron Blood.
Baron Blood!
It would just be hilarious to have them, like, you know, we need to kind of be out fighting the war because we got the powers and stuff.
Right.
We need to, you know, go around being like Max von Sydow and Strange Brew. I could crush a head like a nut.
Oh, Max von Sydow. Oh, Max. God bless you. I want to do a whole show on Max von Sydow. But no, like...
From Antonius Block in The Seventh Seal straight through to Ming the Merciless.
And then on up to...
Into the Episode 7.
Into Episode 7, bringing legitimacy to J.J. Abrams, Episode 7, Max von Sydow. And from what I understand from the costuming aspect, they're going to put him in his 1970s oxblood leather jacket with the wide... Like, he's going to be the Jim Stranko of the of the Star Wars universe. Big giant black glasses. Let's play this game. How many weird German villains that all lived in a castle can you name? Like, because there was Zemo, there was Strucker, there was the Red Skull.
Yeah, Baron Zemo is a classic of just how little regard we have for German villains, because he, like, super glued his mask on. He was drunk or something. What a sad villain. What is your claim to fame? I screwed up and glued my damn mask to my face. Okay.
But he set a precedent because, you know, you had him do that. Then you had, you know, all these guys like Vader and Cobra Commander. All these guys followed suit. So really, he was a trailblazer in screwing up your face.
Yeah.
So God bless him for that. He should get some sort of award, some posthumous award.
Yeah, he should get like a, you know, the Aluminum Cross, for example.
The Aluminum Cross.
It's not as prestigious, mind you, but it's still an important award. But one of my favorites of the old guys, of course, is Baron Blood.
Oh, he's the worst Sirhan ever.
Because it's not enough that you are, you know, aristocracy.
Right.
And then you let somebody turn you into a vampire. But then you have, like, this Yo Gabba Gabba costumer come in to give you this secret of Nim,
secret of Nim
fancy dress party costume.
Fern Gully meets.
Pirate. You just have to imagine Red Skull was there, like, oh.
But they all, that's the thing that cracks me up, right, is they all, like, you got your Zemos, you got your Struckers, you got your Skulls, they all have, like, these modified Hugo Boss German soldier outfits that are just badass, right? Like, they inspire fear and appreciation from their followers. And then you got, you know, the David Bowie of the group shows up. You got Ziggy Bloodust shows up over here.
Mr. Glamrock shows up.
That's right, he's got, like... 6-inch heels.
You got to hand it to the
Ground Axis Control. Powers. What?
Yeah, you have to hand it to the Axis Powers because they actually got a non-Axis power to join the fun.
But he was a vampire. What are you going to do? As a vampire, are you really going to...
Baron Blood was German.
Oh, okay.
About the expatriate Atlantean.
Which one?
You, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I forgot about him. Some
who's on first arguments.
You man. No, you man's on first. You man. Oh, yeah.
Isn't that a tumor? It's not a tumor.
Love that joke.
Yeah.
I love that joke.
It's you man. Probably a tumor was just a child at the time, anyway.
Who are we to speak to the aging process of an Atlantean?
Who knows?
Do they hatch? Do they hatch from eggs?
I don't know what they do. I don't know how they cook.
You mean how they cook up or how they actually make food?
How they cook food.
Okay. I was going to say, I bet you they taste a lot like chicken.
Well, they do.
The Atlanteans are the chicken of the sea, from what
these
I understand.
These boys wanted to eat you. They never tasted Atlantean. I saved you.
Oh,
that's what Cole just watched some of the other day.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, World War II was a never-ending font of new European, because the thing was, even today, you do not get the anywhere, it's the American mentality. Anything outside of America just doesn't exist unless it's helping America. So so they don't get a lot of play. The European powers, we're always shocked by the exotic nature of things. Like I think that adds something to like the Warren Ellis's and the Alan Moore's. And,
again, this kind of goes back to the New York of Europe in a way.
Yeah.
I think part of the mistake for me growing up reading comics was that everything prior to West Coast Avengers took place in New York. Well, when the hell was I ever going to be in New York? Apparently 1983. The thing about it was that there was a mysticism to New York. It is the quintessential classical American city,
right?
That has always been. I mean, you go back to the Civil War; people were like reading about sophisticated people in New York and about the World War or the Civil War superheroes of New York, like Buckshot and Wagon Wheel, who was a very unusual character for his day.
I can't tell whether you're screwing with me right now or not, because I don't know about Buckshot and Wagon Wheel, but if they're real, I'm going to find out.
Actually, they are part of the pre-Golden Age Muggerville.
Oh, are they? The Wooden Age.
Yeah, the Wooden Age, the Steam Age, Ken Burns Muggerville.
The Lead Age.
Apparently there was an Invaders villain known as the Teutonic Knight.
Yes,
He wore his swastika at an off angle. You know, wasn't that sort of jaunty angle you're used to? Sometimes he just sort of wore it in more of a blocky form, I guess, to be a little different.
Well, that's the problem right there. You don't wear that stuff straightforward.
Apparently that was a thing. Teutonic Knight was once a...
The Teutonic Knight.
That's the villain. There was also apparently a Baroness Blood, because one would expect as much, much like that episode of the Dukes of Hazzard where that guy was posing as a British duke to try to grift the grifters, as it were.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite episode.
And Daisy was falling for him and asked him, you know, what happens when a girl marries a duke, and in England, and he says, "Oh, pretty much the same as in Hazard County, I suppose. She settles down, has a lot of kids." Oh, you know, like, shut up! But then he explained that she'll become a duchess,
right?
If he had been posing as a baron, then she would be Baroness.
If he was Baron Blood, that would make the show would still be
that
on.
Would have been but it would have classed it up a little bit,
a little bit.
And then you had Masterman, I think you had mentioned earlier.
Yes, Masterman, the sort of original, one of the original villains, German villains, also one of the first Superman clones.
That's so true, yes. He was an early German Superman. What I love about him is, I was just looking up his bio, Wilhelm Willy Lohmer.
So Willy Lohmer?
They had like little nicknames
for their German super
Willy. Hey Willy! Like, you know, this guy can like crush buildings with his eyes and stuff. But
it was better than his original name, which was Wilhelm Willy Lohmann. That was
not as effective.
No. It's a whole different thing.
And then they had like the Nazi dominatrix. Of a warrior woman.
She-Wolf of the SS over there.
Yeah, somebody was a little wish fulfillment back in the 70s, I think.
I think everybody was a little wish fulfillment back in the 70s, if memory serves.
Apparently one of her aliases was Kriegerfrau.
One of my favorite British superheroes came out of the Invaders, and that was Union Jack.
Oh yes, Union Jack was the Captain America of Britain, but not Captain America.
Yeah, I mean, right.
It could have been just like a Captain America clone, but he was so distinctive.
Well, you get this idea. You know, we always had this idea that the Brits were very, very polite. You know, it's like reading an Encyclopedia Britannica and seeing an entry in British people. And it's like British, very polite, don't carry guns.
Yeah,
and then you
except
start
in wartime, apparently.
Yeah, well, you know, Union Jack was a badass. He had like a K-bar knife and a gun, and he was, you know, kicking people out of the way, and
most of the time he was wielding both simultaneously. Usually, you know, one is the, you know, you like in this case, I needed the knife because I'm like cutting some wires or what have you, and now I need the gun. But no, he's like ready for anything at all times.
He's sort of the no pun intended, the Jason Statham of you know, superheroes for his time. It was, you didn't see that a lot. When we're referencing World War II, you don't talk about, you know, the characters didn't often run. You had like the original Human Torch android Vision thing that, you know, obviously didn't carry a gun. Captain America occasionally would, you know,
he would like borrow some hapless GI's sidearm or maybe his
Tommy
automatic
gun. Yeah,
and then that guy would, of course, be yet another name on a big list going back home.
Right.
They didn't point out that it was kind of akin to friendly fire and that, you know, somebody stole his gun.
It was friendly fire through attrition.
Yeah. It just really, it's kind of hard to explain that one away. So you just pretty much blame it on, I don't know, Baron Blood.
Yeah, you said Baron Blood did it. If it wasn't for that damn Baron Blood,
yeah,
I would have had
just
to take
you
that
could tell
gun.
It's him because they got shot.
He got shot in the face. It was awful.
Yeah, that's what Baron Blood does. Or it was the German World War II Iron Man known as Iron Cross.
That did exist, yes. But the other thing about, since we've been pretty British heavy so far in the first 15 minutes or so of the show, the other thing I wanted to talk about with Great Britain, and then we can move on to the rest of the world, we can move out of the capital city of Europe, is the fact that any time, almost without fail, I can think of maybe one exception, but any time you see a character in a comic book with a sword and or a shield, you better be damn sure that they came from Great Britain.
Pretty much, with the exception, perhaps, of Black Knight.
Yep.
I don't remember if he was American or not.
He was American. Dane was American. He was like second generation American, though.
Okay.
Like the original, like his grandfather came from Great Britain, and then his dad took up the lance and the flying horse and was a bad guy, and then he was a good guy, you know, so
that would then naturally, logic would dictate that Dane's son would then have to go on to become a bad guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's
because it's like you know, kind of a Merle Haggard family tradition, or Hank. The hell these people are, I don't listen. Anyway,
Waylon, it's the Waylon Jennings postulate, the Waylon Jennings equation states that that in the family tradition, you know, if you have a bad guy, if you have a good guy, bad guy, you have to. You can't skip that generation. Or
yeah, it's just the underpinnings of all reality begin to.
And also, let's not forget that Arthurian legend plays very strongly into.
Well, you do get, like, in the Avengers, I think, or somebody there in Marvel wound up running afoul of Morgan Le Fay, and even, I think, Merlin himself came back from the ages.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Morgan Le Fay pops up, rears her not ugly head Well, also, let's not forget our favorite burlap-wearing occultist is, while not British, should have been. I'm going to say that right now. Maybe he wasn't British, but he absolutely should have been. Yeah. And that would be, you know, Dr. Druid.
Now, here's an interesting. I'm going to challenge you with somebody who technically, if he's not technically even from Earth.
Okay.
But I think that ultimately his connection with Earth is very European. And then he pretty much just ignored that because New York.
Because New York.
And that would be Thor.
Yes.
Because like all of us back when he was reading about the exploits of Wagon Wheel.
Well, yes. It's where everybody starts at Wagon Wheel.
Yeah, he longed for New York. And when, again, his centuries after he was fairly active on Earth.
Right.
Decided to go, get in on the superhero thing. He just pretty much completely ignores his Scandinavian birthright, and as it were.
Right. Implied Scandinavian history.
Yeah. So long, Norseman. I'm going more for New York. So I think, Thor arguably has a connection to Europe.
Well, here's the thing,
that is
right?
Largely unbothered with.
Would you go back to like Norway or anywhere in Scandinavia if you were Thor? Because it's like going from home to a crappier home.
Yeah, no, actually, I agree with you there, because I saw like the whole Greenland and Iceland thing in The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Right?
And not exactly the most exciting places in the world to have the misfortune of being born. Oh, well, there went our audience.
There went our three listeners.
Yeah. So much for everyone above the timberline. Yeah.
Sorry, fjords. Our bad. No, but you know what I mean? Like,
that was, of course, Fjords Jorgsen.
If I was from a god plane, right, that was like Ohio, but like golden Ohio with giant spire castles and you know, eight-foot-tall goats that I could ride to the to the comic shop. And then I was like, okay, I'm gonna go to Earth and help out mankind. And I showed up in Ohio and I'm like, this is like I was at home, but a lot crappier than where I was.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's identical.
I'm going to New York. That's the only answer you have. And when you don't have to worry about transit in New York because you have a hammer that allows you to kind of fly around, then why not?
You don't need to worry too much about, airspace or anything.
Right. There's no air traffic control over New York anymore. It doesn't make sense when Iron Man and Quinjets and Thors and God knows what else.
Well, then, you speak of Thor, and of course you're tapping into the mythology of a European nation.
Mm-hmm.
Then the transverse of that is when you just become downright, pandering.
Panderous, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was waiting for pandering.
So, when you get into that, it seems like all too often, I mean, Captain America embodies, he wears the symbol of his country.
Right.
But for the most part, we've got a hell of a lot of other guys hanging around.
Yeah.
But you go overseas, and for the most part, everybody gets, it's like Highlander.
And there's only one.
And then they have to, by law or something, by some sort of UN decree, they have to represent some specific, narrow aspect. I mean, by way of example, let's have a little natural history lesson. The bat, different species of bats occur all over the world.
Correct.
In the tropics, in North America, Europe, Africa. Why can't Venezuela have their own Batman? Whatever Portuguese for man of bats is. But no, if you're from Greece, you've got to be the Olympian.
Well, of course you do.
If you're from England, you have to, and you have the Medusa hair going on from the Inhumans, then you can be Godiva. Though technically, she should have also had the option to be Rapunzel.
Right. True.
apparently, if you're from Germany and your name is Albrecht von Mannheim,
you should just stop. That should be your name.
Why did you change to Wild Huntsman?
Why can't you just be Albrecht von Mannheim?
And I understand that, you know, the purpose of taking on these identities like Man of Bats is to, you know, have that sort of anonymity to protect your loved ones.
Right.
But I don't think anyone's going to try to touch the von Mannheim family because they sound like some tough customers.
Right? They sound pretty badass.
Yeah. You know, Doomsday shows up, and, you know, meanwhile, little Albrecht Jr. is there kicking his ass.
What's happening?
Gets all the, who's your little friend there? Oh, please save me. Let me find Superman. I made a mistake.
Dark Side lands on Earth, and he's like, do we go to Germany? Nope. No, we do not. No.
The von Mannheims rule there.
We don't go anywhere near that.
The one thing your lord and master fears, the von Mannheim family.
And of course, if you're from Norway and your name happens to be Sigrid, got to be ice and or the ice maiden, depending on what age it's in. And if they need you to star in a CW TV show and shorten your name to Ice so you can be Fire and Ice.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, you need to be able to team up with your Venezuelan friend.
I always need to team up with my Venezuelan friend, if at all possible.
Or she was Brazilian, wasn't she?
Yes.
She was Brazilian. But, yes, they... You pretty much are both, and that's all from DC, with, you know, their global guardians.
But at least DC tried. Marvel hasn't even really, I mean, Contest of Champions notwithstanding.
Yeah.
Marvel hasn't
really
tried.
That was the one place where you got the one-off. Everybody gets one.
Everybody gets one.
Ireland had Shamrock, because, you know, I feel like Jonah Jameson talking about, you know, what are the chances someone like Octavius to get four extra limbs? Like, what are the chances someone with luck powers would be born in
Ireland, right? No, you're absolutely right. Like, the Contest of Champions, how many heroes do you think were invented?
Like, well, most of them. Most of the non-American heroes were fabricated, have their origins, like... you know, leaving Europe, if you have, like, Bull Roar or whatever his name was, or Talisman, or...
Right.
The guy with the Bull Roar.
You know, him.
Yeah, and the Sabra. Actually, I stand corrected. Sabra, I believe, had appeared in The Incredible Hulk during his inexplicable... maybe Banner had gone to work on a kibbutz and wound up running afoul of... someone somehow Hulk wound up in Israel. We'll just put it that way.
It's jumping. That's how.
Yeah, I guess jumping. You know, one day you just sort of land in the West Bank, and there you are.
Well, I mean, you had like Blitzkrieg.
Yeah.
And the Peregrine.
Yes, the Peregrine. He actually, as we've talked about before, is proficient in Savate.
In Savate. Speaking of. My favorite supervillain of all time is French.
Oh, indeed.
Batroc de Libel.
Monsieur Batroc.
Monsieur,
yes.
Batroc de Libel. Proficient in the footboxing.
He's not only proficient in leaping about like a rabbit from Holy Grail. It's a leap about! He also is the only... supervillain, I think, ever to successfully sport the Salvador Dali mustache.
Successfully. I will agree with you. Because you had guys like what was his name? The OG hipster supervillain that rode the bike. I can't remember
his name. Oh, that's right.
Oh, what was his name? Why can't I come up with his name? Turner D. Century.
Turner D. Century. That's right.
Yeah, he was
attempting it. Somewhere between that and the John Waters penciled-in mustache.
John Waters would have made a hell of a supervillain in a comic book. Somebody really dropped the ball.
I think, though, in the... Who is Turner D. Century? Can he be
Marvel's.
A Dawn of Justice? Can John Waters?
Can John Waters? No, but he could be in Civil War.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Turner D. Century is from Marvel. So. Yes, I definitely want to see John Waters' Turner D. Century show up in Civil War.
I one day I hope they recast like the Batman 66 and make it old guy Batman 66 and put John Waters in as Frank Gorshin's Riddler. That would make
I'll buy into that.
That would make me happy. So why do you think we don't get the European character?
Partly, I think because prior to the effectively groundbreaking Justice League Europe,
right,
it's hard to maintain contact with your European counterparts. More often than not, if you leave America, you're generally either going to space.
That's a valid. Can we make that point right now? It's more.
You are more likely to leave Earth if you leave these shores than you are to visit another country.
That's really, I had never thought about it like that, but you are absolutely right. That's,
I mean, there's lots of stuff going on here, guys. There's some wars that could use some help that don't involve Skrulls and Kree.
Right.
Right here at home.
Starjammers and whatever else you're into, I guess, but,
you know, that's the sort of thing that got Green Lantern and Green Arrow cussed at for.
Right.
Not thinking too much about the purple man and the green man, and not too much about the black man and the white man. In the classic Green Arrow, Green Lantern tale.
Yes.
But, you know, when you do go to Europe, or Europe comes to you, especially in the older, you know, like the Golden Age and Silver Age, you're talking about either a very limited one-off sort of thing, because, you know, your jurisdiction ideally is in your home country.
Right.
So you really shouldn't be flying Quinjets at will into German airspace.
Right.
To fight Loki in the plaza of the blowed up police cars.
The Jason Bourne-esque driving.
That's right. So, you know, you get these sort of little one-off characters that are very derivative. Because you're probably never, from an editorial standpoint, the chances of you seeing them again are pretty limited.
Okay.
At least, you know, that was the prevailing wisdom. Or you were dealing with Europeans from a non-existent but real-sounding country, be it Latveria, Markovia, Maidupistan.
Maidupistan, right. Ginkgo Biloba.
Into my pants. lots of countries like that. So you get, you know, lest we forget, Dr. Doom is technically European.
Absolutely.
As are Geo-Force and Terra. And
here's another thing. That if you're going to be European in a comic book, you're going to be royalty. They're not just going to put your ass in a comic book just to have you in a comic book. No, there's no proletariat.
If you're royalty, you get a name that is not derivative of your home country.
Right.
No, you don't become the coal miner, the Cockney, well, yeah.
The Cockney kid. Let's call him the Cockney kid.
Cockney kid, yeah.
No, you were going to be Captain Britain, or you were going to be
if you come from
Geo-Force.
Yeah, you come from England, you're going to be like Big Ben or
yeah, or my favorite character that has ever come out of my favorite European character, which is the Beef Eater.
Oh, yes, you had spoken earlier of the Beef Eater.
I remember reading the Justice League Europe issues with the Beef Eater in them, and I grew up in a family that absolutely loves British comedy, British sitcoms, the Fawlty Towers, the Are You Being Served, the Last of the Summer Wines, you know, to this day,
wow.
the folks...
The Good Neighbors is the...
Yeah, any British comedy, anything that would involve a Cleesian sense of humor, let's call it, I grew up to appreciate. So, you know, your Monty Pythons, all of that. So when Justice League Europe, and it wasn't a regular book I was picking up.
Ripping Yarns.
Right.
Wow, how's that for obscure?
You really dug deep for that. I think that was on BBC 12. I wasn't picking up Justice League Europe on the regular or anything, but there was an issue of Justice League Europe that I saw. It was on a rack. It was, you know, in a grocery store.
Did you give the rack? Oh dear. Baton?
That had this character on it, dressed as one of the Queen's Royal Guards from, I don't know, circa 18 something. You know, it wasn't.
Still to this day, will wear the old guard because I mean, they paid like upwards of 30, 40 pounds a piece for those costumes 6 centuries ago, and by God, they're going to get their money's worth.
Get their use out of those.
Yeah,
but the whole idea is it's this guy who, while called Justice League Europe, there weren't a lot of European characters in Justice League Europe.
No, there weren't. Most of them like kind of came over and said, you know, we're the boys from Dover, and we're
right. I think they were. I think most of them were Dover. Were Justice League Detroit after they disbanded.
Yeah, he just kind of went all back home and got deported or something.
But so this guy had this magic rod that his father had given him, or that he stole from his father. And unlike, let's say, Starman or what was the other? I guess it was Stargirl and all that.
Or even like the original Captain Britain. Didn't he have like a rod of some kind?
Yes.
Had to carry around. It was like a.
Yes, he did. But the
stick of England.
I think there is a stick of England that is regularly used. But on top of all of that, his dad was using this rod to do like bar tricks to pick up women and get free drinks. So he steals the rod and decides he's going to become a superhero. But what follows is like 7 issues. Of Justice League Europe that is essentially every episode or movie starring Mr. Bean that you've ever seen in your life. And it was, we had talked about it being Keith Giffen had written it, and the dude can do funny, which we know from The Defenders and which we know from his various other works. And that's what it was. It was just this comedy of errors. Everything he tried to fix to become a superhero just made it worse. And it just all, you know, all went downhill, everything that he tried to do. And it was really funny. If you can get your hands on those issues of Justice League Europe, I strongly suggest doing it. Because it's really, really awesome.
Well, that sounds like fun. I'll have to check that out. Because, you know, you're talking about, like, the British humor
yes.
take on things. There was an attempt, obviously an Elseworlds type of publication, but there was a one-shot put out in hardcover and I think later in softcover as well, where John Cleese was actually brought in to pen his take on Superman. This was like after Superman Red Sun and after Speeding Bullets and after all these other takes on different ways the Superman mythos might have played out.
Yes.
And this was like, you know, had that rocket landed in England.
Like.
And I don't know, maybe it was too British. I just didn't find a lot I could hang my hat on with that one. But it was called Superman True Brit. And I probably just need to give it another pass. But it I think it might have been, you know, Cleese, who's a brilliant writer and a brilliant comedic thinker.
Right.
Comics may not have been the best medium for him.
I haven't heard a lot of good things about it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not one, yeah, that you see people clamoring or recommending highly or anything like that.
Yeah, I remember when it happened, everybody was pretty excited because, you know, John Cleese was doing a comic book.
Yes.
And then
illustrated it, so you had, like, the Johns.
And then it became, well, John Cleese, he did a comic book. Let's give him that,
yeah,
I guess. Like,
go.
He gave it the old college try, so... So, what other...
Well, of course, you have, for example, you know, we're talking about, and we do need to really explore Justice League Europe, because about the same time what was happening is you get this sudden interest in Europe as a new place to, you know, that England was going to become the New York of Europe, because you had Captain Britain coming of his own.
Right.
And abandoning the funky hair out of the top. You know, the mask with no top on it, with the hair sticking out, stick of England.
His stick of England and his tabard and all that stuff.
Yeah. And you see him all of a sudden becoming just this, pumped you up. Hans and Franz got a hold of him.
Right. Yes.
And he got like this, you know, striking costume and this, who was it, the artist who did so much of the Captain Britain stuff.
Claremont was involved, I know that, but he
Claremont
was,
did a lot of the
writing
and such, and Alan Davis, is that how
it's Yes. Batman's Alan Davis.
Truly defined the look of the new Captain Britain, and you know, you had like his daughter or his sister, I forget, who inexplicably would go on to go from being a British chick with a very...
Betsy Braddock, yes.
Yeah, Betsy Braddock, who had that sort of post-Victorian regulation height big hair thing going on, that very British big hair.
Yes.
To suddenly inexplicably becoming Asian.
Becoming an Asian ninja.
Yeah.
With purple hair.
She always had purple hair.
That's true. She did always have purple hair.
She had a lavender tint to her hair that then became more of a mauve violet once she changed race spontaneously.
What I didn't realize was that later in the Captain Britain mythos, that Alan Moore had a run.
Oh, wow. I did not know that either.
It was illustrated by Alan Davis and then was written by – it was continued to be written by – or illustrated by Alan Davis, and Alan Moore got a shot, and which means I probably need to read it because we love Alan Moore.
Yes. Yes, we do.
But, yeah, no, you're right. But then they went all weird with Captain Britain. Originally, he was Britain's superhero.
Yeah.
He would, you know, he's defended Britain and he carried his British, you know, British pride on the inside and fought for, you know, he was super strong. He was basically another Superman, you know, analog. Super strong, super fast, you know, all the power of Britain combined inside of one man and, you know, all of those things. And then they decided that he was going to be a...
But they also disappeared the stick, which...
Right.
You know, It made it a lot easier for him to, like, travel because he didn't have to, you know, carry the which was originally blessed, I think, by Queen Elizabeth.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think there was, like, a scene where she says, whoever holds this staff, if he be British, shall have the power of...
the stick. But then they made him this is very specific, okay? Let's just... In DC, you had the what did they call the guys that watched over the multiverse? Monitors. You had the monitors, right? Apparently, the only monitors that gave a shit about anything were the British monitors, because on every world there was a Captain Britain, and that Captain Britain had to watch over England.
Right.
Screw everybody else. You just watch England. You just make sure England's all right. The queen and country have to remain. So he was the chosen, and apparently it was one of those genetic handed down by the father type roles that we didn't find out till much later when they needed to, you know, spice up the character some.
Yeah.
And then he had to what was his girlfriend's name? Megan, the weird
it was like some weird
elf shapeshifter thing.
Yeah, she was an imp or an elf or
one of those.
A gelfling. For you fans of Dark Crystal.
That's right.
And then of course that also brings you to Excalibur, which was Marvel's Justice League Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And like Justice League Europe, it was a kind of let your hair down sort of thing, because it did allow them to tell the odd goofy story.
Right.
And to have a little fun here and there, because like within the pages of Excalibur, I tried following it for a while, and they had like this weird like alien extra dimensional foe. They had like these weird like silver bird.
No, the werewolves were creepy. They were super creepy because they wear flesh suits.
Yeah, that's true.
It was like
then
really
they had
creepy.
Some weird thing with like the gate crasher and these. it was sort of like the what you would imagine the two firemen from H.R. Puff and stuff with the planet and all this other, and there was like it just got a little too
too weirdy.
Yeah,
for what it was. And again, like Justice League Europe, half the team was damn Americans.
That's true. It was the cast off X-Men at that point.
Yeah, it really was. And then there was like a I don't know, it just like I said, I do remember there was a thing where I think they were kind of like having a play at like the during the Tom Baker era of Doctor Who. There was like that group captain or whatever, the mustachioed dapper.
It wasn't Wisdom, was it? That was later, I think.
But yeah, it was hanging around with some brigadier or something, or some
right,
some higher up in the British Special Services or something like that. And I think they were trying to do kind of, it had that flavor to me. But they had this, at one point, they had this person show up who was like an agent of Who. Was Weird Happenings Organization.
Of course it was.
The branch of the British government, of Her Majesty's
secret.
So it was like, you know, Her Majesty's X-Files or something.
Right.
And, yeah. But, you know, and the same thing, though, with Giffen on Justice League Europe, it was sort of like, hey, look, it's Justice League, but it's kind of funny, you know, we had a little fun with it, and occasionally somebody gets their throat torn out or something. I think what's her name, Crimson Fox, wasn't she murdered at some point? Or...
Yeah, and let's not forget that one of the founding members was a German superhero that we have not mentioned yet since we're talking about Europe.
Yeah.
And that would be one Kurt Wagner, otherwise known as Nightcrawler.
Yeah, the thing about it is, you know, I was looking at some stuff on Excalibur, and I got to thinking about, well, you know, they're all just a bunch of damn Americans. I thought, wait a minute, actually, technically, the post-X-Men 94 X-Men were largely foreign nationals, many of whom were European foreign nationals.
Right.
Because you had Nightcrawler from Germany, you had Banshee from Ireland, and you had Colossus from Russia.
Right. And a Canadian, don't forget.
Yeah. So, but Canada's not in Europe.
No, but he's a foreign national, you jerk. You hump. Here's a fuck. I'm trying to defend my friends up north. We've already lost enough listeners from Norway today.
Well, I want to also reach out to our massive Russian audience, which is amazing to me. That you know, when I look at we talked about this before. When I look at the stats on the JCU Russia. We're just huge in Russia. You know, to reach out to them. You know, you've got Pyotr Rasputin. You've got the Rocket Reds or the.
Right.
Yeah, from who would, one of their number would become a very prominent part of Justice League Europe. And during the Cold War, of course, you had to have your Russian Avengers.
You did. You had to have Ursa and...
Ursa Major, you had, who was, actually his name was Major somebody Ursus. In one of those wonderful comic ironies.
Yeah, it's another one of those if you're named Ursus, you're going to be something having to do with a bear. That's just
It's
predetermined.
What was his name? At any rate,
did you have like Dark Star was one of them.
Dark Star and Vanguard, who in that awkward early Captain Britain way, he had to carry stuff around with him. He had to carry a hammer and a sickle.
Right.
So those had to be like, you know, the premier, premier kiss-off had to, from Dr. Strangelove had to bless those. So whoever holds the sickle, if he be worthy, shall have the power of or should have half the power of Vanguard. You only get half the power if you have just the sickle. Or
right. It's all right. It's not. I'm not saying it's great.
But... You know, it seemed like symbolically the sickle should have been like had poison ivy powers or something.
Right.
Should have been able to just like grain someone to death or
the powers of blight or something.
Yeah, or if maybe they were, on a gluten-free diet, you could really.
No, you just swung them around at people. I mean, that's pretty much what you did.
And just, you know, you just wanted to like hit them with a big bushel of Quadra Triticale.
You just whack people in the face with them. That's all.
Yeah. Slap. Just take my Wheatley assault.
And they really were. I mean, for what they were, the
yes, Major Mikhail Ursus.
You did not get these well thought out. You know, John Constantine notwithstanding, like there are quite a few that were, you know, there are a few that were well thought out, you know, European characters.
Yeah.
Kurt Wagner being one. They really kind of went in depth with him.
And well, a lot of times, though, it was because they transplanted them. They brought them out of, you know, you got to really get to know Kurt, and you got to know Peter, and you got to know a lot of these characters very intimately, but it was because they took them away from their home country. And where do they take them? New York.
New York City. You got to take them to the...
New York City!
New York City! You got to take them to New York! If you want to be famous, kid!
Yeah.
You be a rhinestone cowboy. Get your ass to New York City. So with the... And we've got to get ready to close.
Yeah.
It's about that time. But are we going to see a change? Like, for instance, we're now seeing the rebirth of Miracle Man.
Is the one that I really... We're going to be remiss if we didn't bring up Miracle Man.
Right.
Because Miracle Man is effectively Britain's Shazam.
Right.
Britain's Captain Marvel.
Right.
And with good reason, because, I mean, essentially, I think even the, you know, pre-Alan Moore stuff was basically they were ripping off Captain Marvel without having to worry about DC coming after them the way
right.
they went after Fawcett. So it's like, we're ripping off somebody who's ripping off someone else, but the someone else they're ripping off got after them for ripping them off, but they're not getting after us. And 30 years later, we will do it with impunity.
Which, by the way, is a very British mindset.
Yes, it is.
I expect a Danny Boyle to direct that movie, by the way. What you just said in words, Danny Boyle.
Yes, indeed. I also want to point out that if the invaders ever do make it to the silver screen, I want Jason Statham as
Jack. Oh, yeah. There's no other choice. Who are you going to get? Clive Owen, you jackasses? You put Jason Statham in that role, or I'm going to be pissed.
Clive Owen should have been John Carter, but the fakey American accents.
Do you really believe that Clive Owen should have been John Carter?
I do. I actually do. That is who I had cast.
All right.
But that's just me. And obviously they didn't ask me jack shit about that movie. So.
I still think Clive Owen should have been Doctor Strange, which, if there was ever a character that should have been British and wasn't.
Yeah, that's true. Because he's probably the most British-American
right
out there. But yes, what Alan Moore did was use this ripoff that I described in a very elaborate way and as a vehicle to tell the best version of that character's tale that could be. And he told a very concise, complete story, and then they decided, no, we still have to keep this going.
Right.
It should have done a Starman and just ended.
Well, and again, that's a very British, you know, writing technique, is
yeah.
the beginning and the end of the story. You know, we have a story, it has a beginning, it has an end. Don't mess with it, but
yeah,
we're American.
Then we're done, so. But the thing about if you can get your hands on the Alan Moore Miracle Man stuff, and I really, Marvel has done a tremendous disservice because we're finally getting this stuff after years of it being locked and just completely mired in some sort of legal battle hell.
Right.
Somebody is finally publishing Miracle Man, but Marvel in typical cash grab form cannot simply reproduce
what was made.
Yeah, they have to throw in a bunch of extra stuff that you don't want to read because it's not as good as what you came in for. And to the point where I was actually given a copy of the first volume, the hardcover,
yeah,
by Bobby Blakey that he was sent by Marvel for review. And he says, I couldn't make head or tail of this thing. And I had to explain to him that if you know where to stop reading,
right,
know where the first chapter ends. The stuff, other stuff in there is just a bunch of fluff, a bunch of other material, bonus material, you know, extra stuff that would be published later or separately or what have you. And there's no break. They didn't give you any contextual, here's where you need to stop and, you know, coming later, another overpriced hardcover.
Exactly. And they will just continue until...
And I will applaud them that they didn't muck around with it at all, but unlike First Comics, I think it was, who published the original trades, they weren't ballsy enough to use the N-word.
Oh.
They actually censored a caption panel. Which, it's mature audiences stuff. And it was,
anyway, right.
And it was contextual. You know, it wasn't just gratuitous.
Right.
Alan Moore can be gratuitous, but very rarely. Usually, if he does something that would otherwise be gratuitous, you can find some logic behind it.
Right.
And that's there's a whole episode we're going to be doing about something that could be very gratuitous, but I would argue you can find context in that, but that's a whole other story. And I wonder what they're going to do with the graphic childbirth issue.
Oh, your favorite.
Yeah, that is decidedly, I don't know what that is. It's not British, it's not American, it's just Alan Moore.
You can't label, that's the thing about Alan Moore, is you can't call him like a British national treasure or an American or whatever. He's just Alan Moore. You can't.
Yeah, but if you've ever wondered how a baby comes out of a lady, they illustrate that with, not overly graphic, but certainly anatomically correct childbirth.
Right.
Of a childbirth gone 100% right.
Exactly.
And, of course, illustrates that amongst his many powers, including flight and energy projection and invulnerability, midwifery is... He doesn't have super breath, but... Did you ever see Superman deliver a baby? I don't mean like taking the baby out, taking it someplace.
Is midwifery a word?
Midwifery is actually a word. I know.
Why don't we all use the word midwifery more often?
I know that I coin any number of phrases per episode, but midwifery, I have to admit, is not one of my own.
It sounds like a form of some sort of witchcraft.
It does. In fact, it used to be.
It used to be viewed as witchcraft.
That's right. Who are you who conjures children from the bodies
from the womb?
From the bodies of women.
The midwiverist.
That's right. Bring us the witch who is the midwivery. Witch of midwivery.
Witch of midwivery. All right.
Turn me into a newt. Anyway.
So with the coming of the internet age that we exist in now, are we going to see more European?
I would like to think we could, because I think the level of sophistication in storytelling is increasing. And I think in this age of the internet, in this age of a shrinking world, if you will, we don't have any dark continents. We don't have any lost worlds anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are finding equal mystery and equal excitement in the real world. And I think if you can find a way to have a greater interaction between Europe and America and make that, granted, it's kind of like, I would love to go visit many a country, but, who's got the time or money? And in the case of the comics, you have to find a way to craft a tale that makes sense, that gets you to Europe. And I guess a lot of it does come down to, you're not going to see the CSI Miami team go over to, say, Budapest en masse.
Right.
For a 3-week stint.
No.
It's not going to happen. So, part of it is a bit of a logical thing. But I think I would like to see something where we're embracing more tales that, I'd like to see some American comic companies, American comic writers embrace the concept of let's do a Justice League Europe that's serious. Let's do a story that just, let's follow the exploits of a character or characters who happen to be German or happen to be French.
Right.
And let's give us a world where we have these characters that aren't,
if we didn't even get into Marvel UK
with
Death's Head and Yeah. So sorry, Geeky. We didn't cover Death.
Yeah. Sorry, Hoodie.
He deserves his own issue anyway. So
yeah, we should probably do some stuff about Marvel UK. But I think we're talking in the context of greater universes, where Marvel UK was rather self-contained.
Yes, that's true.
And you know, you could also argue we didn't get into perhaps one of the most well-recognized, if not recognized for where it came from,
mm-hmm.
because it's not even where it came from isn't recognized for what it came from. And that would be V for Vendetta. It would be V.
Yes.
Who V represented symbolically, Guy Fawkes.
Yes.
Being adopted by Anonymous.
Right.
Many people who follow them probably having no clue who Guy Fawkes is, but they know who what V for Vendetta is.
Or exactly.
I would go so far as to say they even know who V for Vendetta is.
Well, and also we didn't get into 2000 AD, which granted we did a Judge Dredd issue, but still that was, you know, one of the most lasting, you know, British
comics. And one of the first imports to really make a hit over here. And we did talk about that a bit, about 2000 AD and Warrior Magazine, which, of course, Warrior serialized and brought over to America V for Vendetta and Miracle Man.
Right.
Marvel Man.
And I'm sure we'll get into all that at some point in the next 120 issues of Hey Kids Comics.
Right.
But so with all that being said, let's go ahead.
119 issues and we're finally getting to Europe.
I feel like an American comic book producer.
Exactly. So this is it. I am, of course, the... I'm Haggis.
You're Haggis. You're Haggis.
I'm Haggis, the hero of Scotland.
And we also didn't get into... You know what else we didn't get into?
Scottish heritage there, so you'll have to come up with your Irish...
We did not get into League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, good God almighty, yes.
Damn it, man. I blame myself. That's my
Over
British...
From Hell, we didn't do... Like, From Hell, we didn't do... one of the books that we'll talk about in an upcoming issue called House of Obscurity is a very obscure little indie called Dead Face.
Okay.
By Eddie Campbell, who would go on to be the illustrator of From Hell.
Yes.
And Dead Face would spin off Bacchus, which would spin off some other things that Dark Horse picked up, essentially picked up Dead Face as Bacchus.
Okay.
And we will talk about that very heavily because there's several little titles nobody's ever heard of that we're going to talk about on that issue, and that'll at least redeem that Greek...
The Greek hole that we left?
Yeah, that we left behind.
By the way, if you're going to be Haggis, I'm going to be the Greek hole.
Okay. Well, I'm not exactly embracing your heritage, but you can represent Greece if you want to.
I'll represent the Greek hole. It's not as good as Night Cream, but...
No.
But, you know, sometimes.
I'm very American.
Oh, man. All right. So why don't you plug us up and we'll get out of here for the for the evening.
We're going to have to – we've been pretty well deported from England now.
They have shoved us out. We got press-ganged into Her Majesty's Royal Navy. And
we were very graciously asked to leave
the entire
continent. In fact, we've been pretty well banned from the entire Eurasian supercontinent.
We really have to travel international waters at this point because I don't know if we'll be let back into the States. It's rough.
Yeah, sort of like hover. We're men without a country. But those of you who still have access to your own home countries can find us at JediCole.com, the home of the Jedi Cole universe, this and many other shows. You can find us on Hey Kids Comics Live on the second Saturday of every month. We're managing to make that happen. At DeepAlamOnAir.com, as well as on the Jedi Cole universe. You can look for the occasional rare tweet from myself at the Jedi Cole U. The Jedi Cole universe, Hey Kids Comics, and even the Rancor Pit can be found on Facebook. Please feel free to join us up there. You can write to us at jcumail@yahoo.com. We would like for people to write in and ask us stuff about your favorite characters, about comics in general, because we really do want to do another HKC Presents.
Yes, we do.
We answer some mail and some questions from people who are listening. So, or from Scandinavians.
And we do have Google Translate, so any of you out there that want to write us from Russia, from Bangladesh, wherever you might be, the Liechtenstein, wherever you might be listening, please write us.
Andorra. And, of course, you're going to see a lot of us from the JCU pretty well en masse at AllCon 2015 coming up. We are now in 2015, and we're not going to shut up about it.
Ever.
So, yes, look for us at AllCon 2015 at allcon.net. You can find out about that and many, many other, I think, darn near 90 conventions this year so far in the state of Texas at Convention Awareness Project Texas at www.cap-tx.info.
Exactly. And with that, we will be back next week with more Hey Kids Comics. Say goodnight, Haggis.
I tally ho.
And I will end with